Please turn now to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, reading verse 19 on page 98 of the Pew Bible. Page 98, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. This is the word of the Lord. Another strange verse from Leviticus. What are we to make of it? How are we to understand it? Is it really given to us? Was it really written down for our sake, upon whom the end of the ages has come? We would understand our relationship to these commands. We must first understand the reason for which they were given, the way in which they functioned in the life of Israel, in the life of Leviticus. And if we would understand that, we must keep in mind, we must remember that at the center of Leviticus is the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God among his people. The tabernacle was the center of Israel's life. The tabernacle was at the center of Israel's life, reminding her of God's promise to his people, "I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people." The tabernacle revealed a greater hope. The tabernacle revealed a day when God would dwell with his people unveiled. A day when the people of God together would enter into the most holy place. A hope that we saw revealed on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would enter into the inner place behind the curtain on behalf of the people, bearing the names of the people before the face of the Lord. A sign of that day when the people would enter with him, not into the most holy place of the earthly tabernacle, but into the most holy place of the heavenly one. But in Leviticus, only the priests could enter into the holy place, and only the high priest could enter into the most holy place, and that but once a year. It was a continual reminder that that day of hope was yet to come. That the way was not yet open. And so in Leviticus, there is a distinction not only between what is unclean and what is clean, but also between what was common and what was holy. The center of holiness was the most holy place, where the Lord of hosts was enthroned upon the cherubim. Holiness was measured by one's proximity to the most holy place, by something's proximity, by its nearness to the most holy place. The closer you were to the most holy place, the holier you were. The holier you are to the most holy place, the holier you become. The holier you must be. The relationship of the most holy place to the land of Israel, it was the same as the relationship of heaven to earth. The invisible heavens to earth. The holy places of this tabernacle, they signified a different realm, a different order, a different world. The tabernacle in the midst of Israel, it was as though heaven were on earth, the dwelling place of God with man. We must keep this in mind if we are to understand what is going on in verse 19 of Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, God is preserving the distinction between what is common and what is holy, between what is earthly and what is heavenly, what belongs to the natural realm and what belongs to the spiritual realm. These commands were not arbitrary. The observance of these commands was to remind the people where they were and also where they hoped one day to be. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. When we first read this, we might think this is merely a prohibition against crossing one breed of cow with another breed of cow. But the command is broader than that. The word translated here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, the word translated here as cattle, it is the same word translated in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2, as livestock. A word that encompasses animals from the herd or from the flock. Not only cows, but also sheep and goats and rams. It is a word that first appears in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, when God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." These animals were created by God according to their kinds. And the people of God, made in His image, they were to preserve those kinds They were to honor those kinds. They were to preserve the order of creation so long as it remains. And so they were not to breed livestock of one kind with livestock of another kind. They were to preserve the creation order. They were to preserve what God had made. So this helps us also to understand the prohibition against sowing a field with two kinds of seed. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, and which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." In Israel's sowing of its fields, it was to preserve the distinctions which God had made in creation. Just as Israel was to preserve the distinction which God made between male and female, so also they were to distinguish seed according to its kinds. Israel was to preserve the distinctions which God had made. Israel was to honor the distinctions which God had made. It was an act of obedience. It was a confession of His lordship, of His right to make such distinctions. And not only this, but Israel's blessing depended upon those distinctions. Israel's blessing depended upon such distinctions. Remember what's at the center of Israel. Remember what's at the center of Leviticus. Remember the tabernacle. What is its relationship to this verse? What is the relationship of livestock and seed to the tabernacle? Sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2, "When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock." Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, "When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour." The preservation of livestock according to its kinds, the preservation of seed according to its kinds, it was necessary for an acceptable offering to the Lord. It was necessary for an offering in accordance with His commands. Israel was to preserve the distinctions which God had made. It was an act of obedience, a confession of His lordship. But it was also that she might receive from Him a blessing through the sacrifices which she was to offer on account of her sins. But what then are we to make of the third prohibition? "You shall not wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material." Is that also part of the creation order? We might be inclined to see this as a symbol of purity, a symbol of oneness, a symbol of wholeness, a symbol of holiness. But I would suggest to you that the garments of one kind of material were not a sign of holiness. but rather a sign of commonness. A sign of what is natural. A sign of what is earthly. A sign of what belongs to the order of this creation and this world. This becomes evident when we remember that not all garments in Israel were made of one kind of material. Not all garments in Israel were made of one kind of material. There were other garments which God had commanded be made of more than one kind of material. And those garments were the garments of the priest. Exodus chapter 28, verse 2, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." Those garments, they were patterned after the curtains of the sanctuary. They were patterned after the curtains of the holy places. Those garments were to reflect the glory and the beauty of the sanctuary, to reflect the glory and beauty of the Lord who dwelt in that sanctuary. Those garments, Exodus chapter 28, verse 5, they were to be made of gold, of purple and blue and scarlet yarns, and of fine twined linen. The garments of the priests were not made of one kind of material. The garments of the priests were made from more than one kind of material. Is this in contradiction then to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19? No. It's not in contradiction to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, but in distinction from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. God is making a distinction. God is making a distinction between two orders. God is making a distinction between two realms. He is making a distinction between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm, between the order of this world and the order of the world to come. To enter into the sanctuary of the tabernacle, it was to enter into a different order. It was to enter into a different realm. And so the priest was to be clothed in the glory and beauty of that realm. He had to put on the clothing of that realm. It is why the priest had to remove those garments when departing from that realm. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 11. When a priest was to leave the tabernacle and carry the ashes of the altar outside the camp, what does it say for him to do? He shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp. Wearing garments of one material, it was a reminder to Israel that she still belonged to the natural order, that she belonged to the earthly realm, but she still awaited a day when she might put on her heavenly clothing. A garment of two kinds, then. It was not a sign of unholiness. It was a sign of holiness. It was a sign of heavenliness. Likewise, a creature of two kinds. Or a plant of two kinds. A creature of more than one kind, a plant of more than one kind, it was not a sign of unholiness, but a sign of holiness, a sign of heavenliness. Think about the creatures seen in the holy places. Think about the creatures seen in visions of heaven. Creatures made of more than one kind. In chapter 1 of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees the glory of the Lord enthroned upon four living creatures. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. Under their wings and on their four sides, they had human hands. And as for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face, and the face of a lion, and the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. They were creatures made of more than one kind. They belong to another realm. They belong to another order. Consider the plants that we see in visions of glory. Consider that greatest, the tree of life. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, what does it yield? 12 kinds of fruit. The tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The tree of life, it belongs to what is holy. It belongs to what is otherworldly. It belongs to what is heavenly. One tree yielding different kinds of fruit. It is a tree that belongs to another order, to another realm. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9, a passage that is parallel to our passage, to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. What happens to a vineyard that is sown with two kinds of seed? Our Pew Bible says its yield is forfeited. But read the footnote. In Hebrew, its yield becomes holy. It belongs to another order. It belongs to another realm. God is making a distinction in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, between what is holy and between what is common, between what belongs to this world and what belongs to the world to come. a reminder to the people of their hope that they one day might enter into that other realm. But how? In Leviticus, how does one enter that realm? How does one enter into the holy places? How does what is natural enter into what is spiritual? How does what is earthly enter into what is heavenly? What happens to the offerings according to their natural kinds when they are brought into the tabernacle? They must die. They're put to death. They enter through death. What happens to the priest when he enters into the tabernacle? He must put off what is common and put on what is holy. He must be clothed in heavenly garments. How does one enter into that other realm? He enters through death. He enters by putting off what is earthly and by putting on what is heavenly. Even the cattle, even the seeds, even the garments of Israel, they reveal to us the necessity of Christ, the necessity of his death and resurrection. Even in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, Christ is proclaimed to us, who offered himself for us, that through death we might enter into glory. That in Christ we might put off what is earthly and put on what is heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that we might also bear the image of the man of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? When we look at our bodies, we see them wearing away. We see them subject to decay. When we consider our life in this world, and it seems at times to be in vain, Christ reminds us of our hope. That though we die, He will raise us. That though we die, we will live. He will raise us into that other order. He will raise us into that other realm, the spiritual, the heavenly realm. And we will be with Him there forever. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.